Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
And I want to know what Brett thinks about the game and what he saw. By the way, the ratings are out. MLB All-Star Game ratings up 6% after a record low in 2023. Brett Boone, thank you so much for joining us. What did you make of the All-Star festivities?
Oh, boy. You know, I find, as I'm getting older, and I'm finding that I really want to be accepting of the new game. And I'm very open-minded. I am. I mean, thinking back to my playing days where I don't want change. I want this great game is the way it is. We don't need change. I think as time goes on, there are things do have to change. You go forward, you know, in life. I was really open. As a player, I wouldn't even think about putting those uniforms on. I'd be pissed. I don't like them. I like the home white and the road gray. And anytime we had an alternate jersey, I'd be like, oh, you know, Jamie Moyer used to use our alternative jersey just to, I think, piss me off. I didn't like it, but I have to admit, as I watch and the City Connect jerseys, I kind of think, you know, they're kind of funky. They're kind of cool. I never thought in a million years I'd accept black pants. But I think the day we're playing, the personalities of the current player, I think they fit. Now, go to the All-Star game, those jerseys. I felt like I was watching a 1982 Miller Lite commercial and Rodney Dangerfield was going to come out from left field. Thought they looked like softball unis, terrible. Now I've gone back a little bit and I say go back to the team jerseys, and if they want to have the cool, you know, progressive type jersey that they're wearing these days, fine. But I like them to go back to their team jersey on top of the All-Star uniform.
No, I don't know about that, Brett, because, you know, you never know. That third baseman, he could get confused wearing, you know, different jersey than the first baseman. He might throw it to the wrong guy. Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, it's not like football. I mean, right?
Yeah, the old school in me has got to come back and say, no, let's just go back to the jersey. Let's not try to jump the shark in every aspect of the game. We're already doing the red carpet events. We never did those. But I understand it's entertainment, a little Hollywood aspect. The home run derby is more exciting. There's more homers, but let's not change everything. Let's keep some things have to remain simple. And I understand today's climate, what the fans like today. I get that. That's the reason we do these things, but let's not do all at once. There's just kind of almost like there's too much going on. Like we have to do everything over the top. Sometimes less is better.
Brett, does this kid, Paul Skeens, remind you of anybody that you played against or that you saw coming up? I mean, he is electric, right? Does he remind you of anybody?
He reminds me, and I'll give you 2 generations worth. He reminds me in my day of when Kerry Wood came on the scene or a Mark Pryor, where they were just different than your average rookie pitcher coming to the big leagues. I remember I was sitting in Montreal watching that big 20 strikeout game he had against the Houston Astros. I remember watching the feed after our game, getting ready to get on a plane, and they were playing it. And I said, how can you keep swinging at pitches 2 feet off the plate? What is going on with Bell and Biggio and Bagwell? They don't swing like this. Well, we had Kerry Wood, his next start, and I found out real quick how electric his stuff was. So a Kerry Wood, a Mark Pryor, I think in more modern day, I think of Steven Strasburg, when he came on the scene, I remember going to a game in San Diego when Strasburg was just a kid. And I had seats in the GM booth, which is right along the third baseline. And so I had that angle between the pitcher and the catcher. And I remember that's the first time as a retired player I was glad I was retired, thinking I don't have to grab a bat and face that today. So I think that's the 2 comparisons I see. Just a ton of talent, 3++ pitches. Obviously, the velocity's there. And the only thing I wish they would have done, and especially for the Pittsburgh Pirate fans in the organization, I wish he would have been there from the jump. He's obviously proven that he didn't need to go to AAA and prove it for a month and a half. I wish he'd have been there from the get-go. The Pirates right now might be a win or two better, which would actually, as we sit here today, put him in the wild card race. But never too late, I guess. They got a second half with him. Only thing with him, and I worry about all these young pitchers coming up today because of the way they're handled from the minor leagues to the big leagues with the coddling and then the pedal to the metal is injuries. Just like you're kind of worried about everybody in baseball now with the injuries because they're so plentiful.
Talking to Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone, he was mentioning jerseys. Brett, I don't want to talk to you about any of the seven or eight you wore in Major League, whatever it was. I want to talk to you about one. One, I'm going to make you feel old. 25 years ago when you were here, all right? 25 years ago. Yeah. So you go back 25 years to that World Series team. We want to talk about that World Series. And you kind of fast forward here. You know, we're spoiled a little bit as fans, but it's almost two things. One, does it strike you as being odd considering how dominant this franchise has been, the Braves, for so long that they only have two titles? And what is it going to take for them to win another?
Well, I think you go back to the 90s Braves, yeah, and I think we look back and with that trio of Maddox, Smoltz, Glavine being the constant, I think everybody, not only their team, you know, I was a part of one of them in the 99, as you mentioned, but that whole generation, they were so dominant. It was the Braves every year, and the Braves are probably going to the World Series every year. You can't really say that about any team in today's modern game. So, yes, I'm very surprised about the one World Series, and I think if you ask the core group that were in the 90s with the Braves, they'll say the same thing. Fast forward to today's Braves. I think they're the similar kind of, hey, they've been in charge of that division for a long time now. Phillies this year really are a good team. Braves sitting in second place. I just think it's different now. And I think it really puts into perspective how hard it is to be a World Series champion. It's not about being the greatest team, especially in today's climate, the 12 teams, a lot more series you have to go through in the postseason. And I think because of the way the playoffs are set up, and it's a three-game series and a five-game and a five-game and a seven, I don't always think you get the best teams. I mean, if you truly wanted to get the best team and crown the best team a World Series champion, what you'd do is you'd have seven-game series because it would show the depth that you have. Nowadays in the postseason, very rarely do you see a fourth starter. It's always one and two and maybe a three. So the teams that have a dominant one and two starter can get through a couple rounds of the playoffs with not necessarily being an elite team, just having two elite starters. So I think the climate's different. I think the entertainment value's up because so many cities are in it for so much longer. But once you get to that tournament, the postseason tournament, I think it's tougher than it's ever been to be a World Series champion. I think the Braves, what they're doing is remarkable, but I think if you talk to the Dodgers, you know, they've been a dominant franchise and dominant in the National League for years now, and they've got one, and it was that COVID-shortened season. So I just think winning a World Series is so much harder than people think. But the Braves are going to be right in the mix this year and have a chance. They pitch their butts off, and they play defense better than anybody, and they lead in those perspective categories. So it's this Brave team. They're just a bunch of pros. That's a pro team. They know how to do it. From Snitger down, they've got a tremendous staff, and I expect the Braves to make some noise and put themselves in a position where at least it gives them a chance. Like I said, I think the toughest time in history to actually get through the postseason and win a World Series, but they're definitely one of the teams I got on my short list.
Insider Calls brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions. We're talking with Brett Boone here. MLB Odyssey Insider, Braves second half of the season, 60-some-odd games left, starts tomorrow. I want to ask you about the mind of a hitter because I am perplexed at what's going on with Austin Riley. He's got 12 home runs, 12. Matt Olson, 13. Like, right. How do you approach the second half, Brett, with knowing you have not performed as well as you want to in the first half? Do you change anything? I mean, guys always talk about not panicking, but the numbers, the power numbers have not been there.
No, the power numbers are way down, and you've got Ozuna picking up the slack. You know, his numbers right now are closer to what Olson's, we're expecting Olson's to be, especially a guy like Olson, who's a you know, every year is a potential 50 home run guy. I can just, you know, I looked at Acuna before he got injured, and he was off to a real slow start. Numbers weren't even close to what they were a year ago when he won the MVP. It's just, I chalk it up sometimes. I look at a Julio Rodriguez in Seattle, who's really been scuffling, and that Seattle offense is at the bottom of all the categories. It sometimes it's just the game, and there's no rhyme or reason. For Ole, he's sitting here right now at 230. He's got 13 homers. Well, for an average player in today's game, you'd think, wow, I'm on pace for 20-plus home runs. I'm doing really good. But when you're a guy like Matt Olson, I'm sure he's looking at those numbers. He's not happy at all.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
All with them. My experience, it's year to year. You know, you never know. It just clicks when it clicks. I think for the great players, you're going to have great years. You're going to have your normal years, and you're going to have, you know, years where you don't live up to the expectations. But usually you're in that little box of it's one of the three. And I think at the end of this season, Matt Olson, at some point, it's going to click. You know, there's 2.5 months to go in the regular season. It's going to click, and he's going to go on a roll at some point. And at the end of the year, he's probably going to be sitting at over 30 home runs, have a big second half, and his numbers are going to kind of fall into where they normally fall in. There's nothing you can really do. It's not like we take this break. Sometimes the All-Star break's a good time to just catch your breath, recharge the batteries, and get after it the second half. But he's had great years. This guy's a veteran player now. He knows what it's like to hit 50 home runs. It's not like he's trying not to doing anything different. But I think it's just baseball, and it's so hard, and it's a constant adjustment. At some point, I think he's going to get on a heater and be the Matt Olson that we're used to. But you're right. Right now, I look up and down that lineup. A lot of guys are playing under what people expect them to play.
You know, I'm not necessarily a conspiracy guy, but Brett Boone, I got to ask you. I mean, everybody's down. There's something different with the baseball this year, right? I mean, stitches or something? I mean,
you know, it's right? Funny because a few years ago they were talking about the lively ball, and it was across the board. And remember, it was the first year that they used the same ball in AAA that the big league guys were using, and the home runs were up by like 1,000 in AAA. Yes, I think that's not a conspiracy. In my years, you could notice, and it was subtle, but you could notice year to year how the ball was. Sometimes guys in spring training, it was funny, at the end of spring we'd go, it's one of those years where the ball's down. So it's not going to go, and it's probably 4 or 5 feet. But over the course of 162 games and how many balls you get in the air, 5 and 6 feet becomes a lot. So I definitely think there could be something to it. I'm not out there physically hitting the balls. The only guys that truly know are the guys throwing the balls from the mound and the guys in that batter's box that are hitting them. They know for sure if the ball is wound a little tighter or a little looser. I think it's far from being a conspiracy theorist. I think it's behind scenes that are made by the powers that be. And if they want a little more pitching or they want a little more offense, they tweak that ball just a little bit to get that little difference. But I think you're far from a conspiracy theorist.
Great stuff as always. Brett Boone, we appreciate you stopping by. Again, Insider Calls presented by Grainger. Odyssey MLB Insider. Hey, we'll look forward to our conversation next week as the second half gets underway, and we'll see where this thing goes. Have a great weekend.
You got it, guys. Looking forward. I'll be out there in August.
Awesome.
For that Atlanta alumni. Looking forward to it.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Good to talk with you. We'll talk to you soon, Brett.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.